Student Union President Daryl Reese, but he had some class issues come up. Texted me this morning, very apologetic that he couldn't make it. I'm sure we'll be able to reschedule him soon. So we'll have our head cheese here at Manhattan Broadcasting Company, Corey Reeves, very involved in Oztoberfest. He's going to talk to us about that very important big event that comes up in Wamego every year. I'm a big Wizard of Oz fan, so should be very enjoyable. Brady, you like Wizard of Oz, right? Who doesn't like Wizard of Oz?
Oh, love it. Although I remember when I was a kid, the flying monkeys used to scare me. So,
see, it was the witch for me.
Okay.
It was the witch for me, but more on that a little bit later. Brady, you wanted to talk about some ACT scores.
I do, and you said you had the big cheese coming in. Corey, Dave Lewis tells me he's the big cheese, so.
I'm sure Corey will clear that up.
Okay,
when he comes
in. Our annual ACT reports came out here a couple weeks ago, and it compares your own school district with the state average. And, you know, they have four areas, English, math, reading, and science, that they have your composite scores for your district compared to your state, and then they have an overall composite. And to be real honest, over the years, that's something we've been working real hard on in our district, that we just felt like our kids do very well on all our other tests, or say testing. They go on and do what they want to do, but our ACT scores have never quite been where we want them to be. I mean, they've been lower than what we were hoping they would be. And this year, we did very well. Our district composite was 23.8, and the state composite or average was 21.7. And then in all four of the academic areas, we were above the state average also. So anyway, I guess hopefully our work that we've been doing on that end, and one of the problems when you have small numbers, you know, we might only have 12 kids taking the test. One or two can really throw that off each year, and it can do the same for higher scores too. But
not a lot of margin.
No, not a lot of margin for error. So anyway, we're very pleased with our ACT test scores.
Was that – have you been able to look at all the scores? Was it a pretty good top-to-bottom performance?
It was. And actually, I think the national average is below our state average. So our state composite for our state of Kansas kids is above the national average. And so thus our district – for Blue Valley, you know, scored above both the national and state average. So anyway, so we're very proud of that for our kids.
And where do you credit a lot of that? Are you guys doing anything different curriculum-wise? Or,
you know, we've really been focusing on our counselor, Matt Schreiber. I know we have ACT classes. It's more than one that we bring in a person into the district. And one thing that we've been doing, I think it's $35, somewhere along there, $38, for the kids to take the class. And we tell them if they take and complete all the sections of the class, that then we'll pay. They initially pay for it, but if they go ahead and go through the class, that we will pay that for them, and then we make checks out and give it back to the parents, not the students. But and we've done that now for two or three years. And I think that's had an impact on how the kids perform also.
Very good. Well, congratulations to
thank you
to your district and all your kids there. That's always, I remember, I think I just took it once, and it's always a stressful time. It's still like the bubble sheet, right? It's still done that way with the bubbles and filling them in.
You know, I think I remember, it's been years ago, but I took it once also, and I wasn't a real good tester, but did well enough. And you know, now it's not unusual for students. That's kind of the gatekeeper for scholarships. And it's not unusual for students to even take the ACT as an eighth grader. And we have students that will end up taking the ACT two or three times, trying to get, you know, raise that composite score as high as they can to help get academic scholarship, financial help, you know, going to college. So,
anyway. Very key, or just getting into college.
Right.
So I think K-State is still a 25, I believe.
No, I think it's a 22, but there's there's a lot of different ways. If you're in the top 10% of your class, or certain grade point average, you can still get in with, it's called qualified admissions in Kansas to get into one of the state schools. So there's a lot of different ways, ACT being one of them, that you have to meet to get into a Kansas qualified admission school like K-State, KU, Emporia, Hayes, and so on.
I see you got some more notes there. Is there other things that you wanted to go over?
Well, I do. I don't have my Brady Pick 5 today to do. But
oh, yeah. Breaking. That's actually Brady Burton that's doing these, by the way.
Okay.
Big reveal.
So I guess this can be my
there
Pick
you
5,
go.
Right?
Like your cover you, 5, yeah.
My cover 5, yeah. Okay. We do have a bond election coming up November 7th, which getting closer for $4.1 million bond over 20 years and for some new construction in the district along with a lot of maintenance things. But the thing I did want to mention, we've been doing a lot of things like going to senior citizens meetings and other forums and so on. But we do have two big public forums coming up for our patrons. One is October 12th. Which will be at our elementary school in Olsburg. And the other one is October 17th, which will be at Blue Valley High School in Randolph. And both of those start at 7 p.m. and are public forums for anybody in our district to attend to learn more information. We'll have our architect there, those type of people, board members and so on, students that are on the committee that will be speaking towards or about the bond. One other thing I wanted to mention on November 7th will be board elections. And those traditionally were in the spring. Now, starting this year, they're in the fall during a general election. And we have three board members that are going off, three incumbents that are not running again. We have one person that have filed, Tim Ennis, and we have two others that I understand are running as write-ins, Rio Schultz and Ginger Blasky. So we have three, I guess we will have three new board members, and their terms start now in January for the January board meeting. They used to start with the July board meeting. Now they're elected in November. They start in January.
And this is the first year for that sort of switch.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on that switch? Would you prefer it to stay the same, or do you see some advantages in this switch?
You know, I liked it in more the spring. It was more standalone. And then the board members would start. Our fiscal year starts July 1, so you'd have the new board members coming in when your new fiscal year started. You know, we'll wait and see. I liked it in the spring, but maybe this will be better. I'm not saying it won't. So we'll see what happens.
Is there any worry? I guess a worry that personally that I might have with the switch is that, you know, November elections are, when it comes to the politics of everything and how polarizing that can be sometimes, you seems like you just have more of that just naturally in a November sort of setup. Whereas you said, the spring's kind of more standalone. It's more focused on just school issues.
School or local elections,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Is there any worry about school board members and school matters just being caught up into that sort of November sort of political spin and cycle and all those things?
Well, I think absolutely. I think when the change was made, talking to other superintendents, I think that was one of the biggest worries, that it would be more political now with board members, where before it hasn't been.
Because they designate a party, right? If you're, or do they not have?
Well, I don't think so. They didn't used to. I don't know in filing if they have to or not. I'm not sure on that, on school board. I don't think so, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I do need to double check on that, because I think I've heard both. I thought I heard. I don't remember who it was, what superintendent it was, but they thought maybe they did. And when you see it on the ballot, maybe it does have that letter. And if it does, and we'll make sure on that, but if it does, I guess that's where my big worry is, and makes me wonder if that's why that the state did that in the first place, was because you'll have a lot of people, especially on a November election, they'll just go down and vote letters. They won't
sure.
really look at the people or issues or anything like that. And that's where I was kind of disappointed to see that move into fall, because again, as you said, in the spring, it's standalone. It's very focused on what it's about, not caught up into the overall hoopla, if you will.
And especially for small districts like ours, sometimes it's hard to get board members. It's a really unappreciated job. I feel like they aren't paid. Their term is for 4 years, and there's a fair amount of work to do as a board member if they really take it serious. And it's a very important job, obviously, for the district and for the education of our children. But so lots of times it's getting harder and harder to find people to run. And a good example coming up in November, we have 3 open positions and only 1 filed. And the other two people have kind of stepped up and are running as write-in candidates. And I think you see that a fair amount in smaller communities and sometimes even in mid-sized communities.
It is a big sacrifice. You talked about how they're not paid. There's a lot of work into it. You look at what Manhattan or USD 383's had to go through, those board members the last couple of years, talking about the issue with their mascot at games and those sort of things.
Sure.
And the headache involved with all that. It's not easy work.
No, and there's a lot of – anytime you're dealing with parents and grandparents' children, there's issues. And so board members take a lot of calls from patrons on this and that, a lot of complaints and so on that they have to deal with also.
Dave, did you have something?
Well, it looks like we are working on a phone situation here and try to get your compadre from District 378 here in the studio.
That would be so good, Mr. Williams.
Yeah. So Kathy's working on that right now because, he wasn't able to be here in person. But, so that's why you hear Kathy mumbling in the background.
Well, do we just want to go to break and come back, or do we got him?
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to break.
I tell you what, Brady and Brady?
Yes.
Brady squared?
B squared.
Square Brady's?
B squared.
Square Brady's? Let's go to a break, and then we'll be back with more.
In Focus.
On the Brady Cliff Brady Show.